Hi guys, how you doing? So for those of you who haven't met me before, my name is Meg. As Dan was saying, I'm the youth worker here. I absolutely love the teenagers we have in this community. You guys are all amazing. Looking around the room, how are you guys up on the, have we got any youth up on the balcony today? Yes, a few of you, love it. Yeah, let's give it up for the youth. They are incredible, and they teach me far more about Jesus than I teach them. So yeah, I'm super grateful to be here. I'm also a little bit nervous because I've not done anything like this before, and there are some incredible speakers in this community. But I do love to share stories about Jesus and hear stories about Jesus, and it's an honor to get to share what Jesus has done in the lives of people to turn their lives around throughout history, and what he's done to turn my life around. I stand before you as a very, very different person who I was, thank Jesus, than when I was a teenager, which we're going to talk about in a bit. But we're today going to share quite a well-known story from Scripture. We're in a series called Turn Around, which is all about how Jesus turned around lives in the Bible and lives in our community. But I really wanted to share this one because I see a lot of myself in this encounter that Jesus has with a man called Zacchaeus. So I'm sure many of you will be familiar with the story, and we're going to kind of live into it in a bit, but I will start with just reading straight from Scripture. So if you've got a Bible, we'll turn to Luke 19, and it's verse 1-9. It's quite a nice little short passage, but it's got depth and clout. So yeah, I'll read that to us now. Luke 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, the crowds grumbled. Jesus has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner, they said. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, this half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is the word of the Lord. I've always wanted to do that. So good. So without further ado, I would encourage you guys to reading scripture aloud is the best thing ever. But I know that when I was younger and when I was a teenager, it really helped me to actually live into the stories, right? To kind of act them out, to put myself in the role of everyone in the story and sort of live it out. Because I don't know about you, but my memory can be bad sometimes. I'm more of a visual learner. So I thought it would be fun, as we've got all of our Basil's generations in the room with us this morning, to do a bit of really living into this story together and really acting out. So I'm going to need some volunteers. I'm going to need one from youth. I'm going to need one from adventurers. I'm going to need one from flying falcons and one from wild geese. So maybe chat amongst yourselves and I'll call you out in a minute. But there is incentive to volunteering. This is a bag of gold coins, which are also delicious to eat. Can we get a volunteer from youth? Don't let me down, you guys. I know it's embarrassing, but we love to make fools of ourselves for the gospel, right? Oh, yes, who have we got? Oh, yes, okay, Abs, come on up. And then, have we got anyone from adventurers? Thanks, mate. We got anyone from adventurers? Yes, come on up. Come on up, Eliza. All right, if you come and stand next to Abby here. And then have we got anyone from Flying Falcons? Yes, Flying Falcon, come right up. Give them a round of applause, guys. They're being very brave. And then finally, we need a volunteer from Wild Geese. Anyone? Oh, come on down. Yeah, climbing all the way down the spiral staircase of doom. Cheer him on. Woo! Okay. So, right, Abby, I'm afraid to say that you've actually selected the hardest task for today. I'm going to get you to plank, please, for as long as you can. All right, you're going to get into plank. Excellent. And Eliza, you're going to do some sit-ups. Go on, down you go. You will earn your chocolate coins. All right. Oh, a sit-up. Okay, so you sit like this. I can't believe I'm doing this in front of the whole church. Right, so you're going to do this. You're going to do some sitting ups like this. Yeah, you've got this. You've got this. All right, so carry on. Are you all right planking down there, Abby? Okay, and then, mate, you are going to do some star jumps. So if you start star jumping, I'm so sorry, I've forgotten your name. Okay. Brilliant, yes, go for it. And then you're going to do some running on the spot, okay? Do you think you can do some running on the spot? Yeah? Do you think we can do some running on the spot like this? Excellent, guys. Abby, how are you doing in your plank? Eliza, yeah, cheer them on, guys. We're going to do some running on the spot. That is so good. You're doing so well. I love it. I love it. Do you want to do some running? Do you think you can do some running like this? Or maybe some jumps like this? Okay, well, the point is, do we think they've worked hard enough to earn themselves a chocolate coin each? Yes, we do. So we're going to give them a chocolate coin. I forgot where I just put them down. Here. Okay. So guys, if someone could help me just pull those four seats out, we're just going to line these four seats up for these four amazing volunteers. Give them a massive round of applause. So hold your hands out, guys. Hold your hands out. That was incredible from you, Abby. Amazing planking. Okay, got a chocolate coin for you as well, Eliza. I've got a chocolate coin for you, mate. There we go. And a chocolate coin for you. So we're going to hold on to it for a minute. Try and exercise some self-control, which we love in the church. Just checking. It would be my nightmare if this thing falls down. Okay, so you've earned yourself a chocolate coin. And this chocolate coin represents £100,000, okay? Ooh. So I'd love you to have a think. What do you think you would do if you worked hard, you earned £100,000, what are you going to do with this money? What's your big dreams for this money? Abby, should we start with you? Do you want a minute to think about it? Eliza, do you know what you're going to do with this? Do you know what you're going to do with this money?
I'm going to buy 20 ice creams.
20? I think you could get more than that. I think, how many ice creams do we think we could get with £100,000, guys? I'm not a mathematician, but feel free to work that one out. Loads of ice creams, okay. And what would you do with all your money, do you know?
Toys.
Lots and lots of toys, excellent. Eliza, do you have any thoughts?
I want to buy a horse.
You're going to buy a horse? You can probably buy many horses with that money, yeah. Okay, brilliant. And Abs?
Get a house and a dog.
Oh, I love that. You're going to get a house and a dog. Okay, guys, these are beautiful dreams. Beautiful dreams and visions for the money that you've worked really hard to earn. And it's very, very exciting. You're very, very excited about what you're going to do with this money. And then, dun, 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 dramatic music. Are you all right there? Having a moment. Okay, brilliant. Somebody wants your chocolate coin. That's fine. Okay, we need a boy volunteer to come up and be the main or the second main character. Who have we got? Who have we got? Yes, Tom, come on up. So we're going to boo Tom because he's about to do something really bad. Sorry, no, it is redemptive. It is redemptive. This is not towards you. This is Zacchaeus. This is dramatic effect, okay? But Zacchaeus is going to come And he is the richest man in the neighborhood. He's got all of the chocolate coins, okay? He's got all of them. And he has been employed by the Roman Empire. So all this story is happening in the city of Jericho, which is quite an affluent city in Israel. And it's been occupied and invaded by the Roman Empire, who are pretty brutal. If you've read horrible histories, you'll know what the Romans are like. They can be pretty gnarly. And so what's happened is Zacchaeus is actually an Israelite. He's Jewish, but he's betrayed his own people to go work for the Roman Empire, to take their money, give it back to the Romans. And not only that, but he's taking the money and for the Romans, and he's also taking little cuts here and there for himself. So Zacchaeus, you're going to take your bag and you're going to take away not only the gold, but the dreams and the visions of what they've worked hard to earn. They're going to take away all the horses. We're going to take away all the ice creams. And we're going to take away all the toys. And we're going to take away the house and dog from our dearest Abby Topless. And guys, how does that make us feel? Right, hold your money bag triumphantly. Whoa. Okay, guys, how does that make you feel that the money that you've worked so hard to earn, that you had big dreams and visions for, how does it feel that that's just been taken away from you by a greedy traitor of a man who's come into your community? Well, how do you feel about that?
Annoying.
Annoying, yes, to say the least.
Sad,
absolutely, yes. It's a big disappointment, isn't it? Okay, how do you feel?
Angry,
yes. And how do you feel that your toys have been taken away?
Sad.
Yeah, it's really sad, isn't it? It's really sad. And guys, I'm sorry, it will get better. We are heading quickly towards restoration. But for a minute, I do just want to sit with that, because that is what sin does. That is what one person's selfishness. And when we depart from the way of God, a way that cares for each other, that puts God first, like we were singing about, that puts Jesus at the center of our lives. When we don't do that and we live for ourselves and we take little cuts, this is the kind of devastation it causes in our communities, in the world around us. If we think that we can kind of just get away with a bit of selfishness here and there, taking a little bit that we shouldn't be taking, that it has massive effects and it can cause real, genuine heartbreak, right? It's pretty heartbreaking to lose your house and dog, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And so I don't want to brush over that, because God deeply is grieved by sin. Because of the damage that it causes in our lives, the damage that it causes to each other. He loves his children. He loves each of us. And sin does damage. It's like any good father would be devastated if any harm came to their children. And in the same way, God is devastated when our sin not only affects our own lives, but affects the lives of those around us. Okay, I'm going to pause there for a minute, because I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony with you. Because, yeah, before I came to know Jesus, my life was, take a seat, guys. Sorry, thank you very much. Have we got enough seats for everyone? Brilliant. My life was incredibly broken. When I was a teenager, I grew up, I absolutely adore my family, but they would be first to say that there was some serious dysfunction. Home felt like often quite an unsafe environment, a really hard environment to grow up in, and I became quite bitter about that, quite angry. And I became quite angry with God, even though I'd grown up in a Christian home hearing about who God was and what he was like. But I became really angry because I wasn't seeing the fruit of Jesus's restoration in my home. And I became really angry with God. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go it alone. I'm going to live for myself, because God's not fighting for me in my home environment. So I'm just going to fight for myself. I'm going to protect my own life. I'm going to take what I can, a bit like Zacchaeus here, just taking little bits, because it was serving myself. I was serving my own needs. But then by the time I reached my late teens, my life was totally in tatters. I was doing drugs. I was lying to my family and friends. I was causing really devastating problems in my own friendship group because of my own selfishness. My life was pretty messy, and I was, to say the least, just really, yeah, there's a lot of things that I did in my teens that I'm really ashamed of. But thank Jesus for his restoration in my life, which is where we're headed, But this is why I wanted to talk about Zacchaeus' story, right? Because this is a man who, in his community, he's basically become a bit of a stench in his community, right? Because of his selfishness, because of his sin. And he's left this real trail of devastation in his wake. And yet, something crazy happens. Jesus comes into his life, not only into his life, into his town, into his community. And Zacchaeus, even though his life is pretty messy, there's something in Zacchaeus that is looking for Jesus. There's a verse, which I'm just going to find, because I'm not good at remembering things on the spot. The Bible passage we just read, it says that Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was, even in the midst of his mess, even in the midst of the very, very obvious consequences of sin in his life. There was something in him that was seeking to see who Jesus was. And if you're here today and you're seeking to see who Jesus was, I'm just going to tell you, it's a dangerous search. Because the more we search and the more we seek him, the more we realize that he is actually who he says he is. I remember kind of in my teenage years, I sort of rejected God, but I still sort of thought, oh, Jesus is like, he's a good guy, I guess. Like, I know that he's like got some good stuff going for him, but like, don't know if I really believe that he's the Son of God. But then when you actually encounter him, when you're actually seeking, and when you look at the New Testament, you realize that his character is so consistent with God that he cannot be anything but God's Son. We can't be neutral about how we feel about Jesus. We can't just be like, he was a good guy. Because if we believe he's a good guy but not the Son of God, we believe that he's a liar. And that's not a good guy, right? So I would invite you today, if there's part of you that's seeking to see who Jesus was, I would encourage you to be brave and step out in that search, because the more you seek, the more you will find that he is actually the real deal. He is who he says he is. Anyway, sorry, that was an aside, but important. So Zacchaeus, are you ready for your redemptive moment? Yes. Okay, brilliant. So you're going to seek. There's part of you that's seeking to see who Jesus is, and he comes into your town. You know that he's around. You're not quite sure where he is, and you're a little bit short, it says in scripture. Not you personally, but you're looking to see. You don't know where he is. There's a crowd of people around, and you're going to climb up on this chair safely, and you're going to look around. See if you can spot Jesus in the midst of the crowds right now. Just give it a good look. Dramatic suspense. What did you say to... So Jesus said he's coming to your house today, Zacchaeus. What are you going to say to that?
Okay.
Brilliant. Okay, Jesus, welcome. Enter Jesus, who is personified today by the amazing Isaac James. Okay, so Jesus is going to come to your house today, Zacchaeus. So carefully jump off this chair, this obliging chair, and this is going to be your house for today, this lovely Persian rug, which represents the affluence. Yeah, come on over. Yeah. Represents your affluent life. So Jesus is not only invited himself into the home of like probably the most disliked person in his community, but he's coming in. Have you guys ever invited someone around to your house and thought, oh heck, because I have. When I haven't tidied, or when I've left maybe like bits of journal notes around, and you just think, oh my goodness, flip, what if they find out what's truly going on in my inner world? It's terrifying. But but the moral of the story, Jesus can redeem everything, and Jesus wants to come and actively inhabit the most vulnerable places of our lives, right? The places that we don't want to show anyone else, that we're not necessarily ready to talk about. Jesus is like, yeah, count me in. I want to come in there. I want to be with you, dwelling in the spaces that are most vulnerable in your life. So take a seat, have a little chat with Jesus, Zacchaeus. And yeah, get your coins at the ready because you're going to need them in a minute. But I wanted to talk about that because that's basically what Jesus did in my life when I was incredibly broken in my teenage years. I thought I was so beyond what I thought was, you know, being able to have relationship with Jesus. I felt so unworthy. I felt like I'd wrecked my life so badly. I felt like I had all my decisions were kind of staring me in the face. I just thought, gee, there's no way that Jesus would want to come and hang out with me in my life, in the mess of my life. And yet he came in. I basically got 17. I was kind of at rock bottom and thought something in my life needs to change. And even though I was so aware of the mess, there was a part of me, like Zacchaeus, that was seeking to really know who Jesus was, if he was the real deal, because I was like, I can't do this for myself. Me living for myself is not working. So maybe there's a chance that Jesus might be able to change that. And so I basically came along to does anyone know 24/7 prayer? Okay, brilliant, love it. But I went along to a 24/7 prayer gathering. I stood at the back of the room, a bit like Zacchaeus, sort of like looking over the crowds, but also, you know, not necessarily being ready or prepared for Jesus to call out to me personally. And then in this prayer meeting, there's a lady in the middle of the room, and she just looks at me and she's like, come into the middle of this room. They had like a little prayer circle thing going, like a prophetic. We've all been there, a bit like, you know, crazy prophetic charismania vibes. but I was invited into the center and I felt so called out. I was like, oh my gosh, any minute they're going to find out that my life's a mess. And any minute they're going to be like, what are you doing at this prayer meeting? You don't belong here. You don't belong. but this woman, she just said, she starts prophesying over me. And for those of you who don't know what prophecy is, it's basically when people hear God speaking and they share it. It's such a gift to the church when you can hear God speaking and you can speak it out into your community. In the same way that sin leaves a trail of devastation in its wake, prophecy in the voice of God leaves a trail of restoration. And that was exactly what happened in my life. And they prophesied over me. They told me all of the things about my life that they couldn't have possibly known. And I was like, oh my gosh, they know everything. And yet they're still here. They're still praying for me. They still love me. They want me to be here. And in that moment, I met with the radical love and the presence of Jesus. And it turned my life completely around. And the cool thing about when God turns a life around is it's not just us that's affected, it's everyone else who's affected. Like I said, in the same way that sin causes wreckage, Jesus brings total restoration beyond what we could ever imagine. And so we're going to quickly finish up with the conclusion of our boy Zacchaeus. And so what happens in this little encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus is that when Zacchaeus is met with the love and grace of Jesus, his life is turned around, to the point where he can't help but pour it out into his community. So what he does, I want you to go back, Zacchaeus, to these guys who you cheated out of their money, and you're going to give them 4 gold coins each. He restored to them what he'd taken by 4 times as much as the amount that he stole. That's pretty radical. Yeah, 4 each, brilliant. Yeah, we're going to give it up for Zacchaeus. So now, Abby, where you were going to buy 1 house and a dog, you can buy 4 houses and a dog. Eliza, where you were going to buy 1 horse, you can buy several horses. I don't know how much the cost of horses are these days. And then instead of, what did you say, 8 ice creams, you're going to get like 20,000 ice creams.
Four farms.
Oh my gosh, his dream has even been enlarged by the restoration of his fortune. Amazing. And what are you, how many toys are you going to get now? 17,000 toys. Amazing. And so this is the effect that one encounter with Jesus has on one person's life. It's not just about how he turns our lives around. It's about how he turns around the whole climate, culture, socioeconomic thing that is going on in our communities. Everything is renewed and restored by Jesus. And if there's one thing that I'd love for you to remember from this talk, it's that Jesus can redeem anything. Actually, should we say that? Jesus can redeem anything. So if there's one thing you take away, I would love for you guys to take that away from today. But can we give a massive round of applause for our amazing volunteers? go and take a seat. Go and take a seat. You've done so well. Oh my gosh, yes. You're not only going to restore fourfold to these guys, you're going to give every child in this room a chocolate coin each. So if you want a chocolate coin, I want you to put your hand up. Let's start with the under 18s. And then we might have time for the adults as well. But yes, our legendary Zacchaeus is going to hand out chocolate coins to everyone. And while he's doing that, I just want to end on the last thing that Jesus says to Zacchaeus, which is, today's salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And so on the basis of that, I think Dan's got some invitations for us that, you know, when we acknowledge that we need him, he can come in, he invites himself in, he inhabits the spaces that feel most vulnerable, most scary, most messy. And he loves to be with us at this. But we don't need to sort out our lives over here before Jesus can come in and transform stuff. He's right here. He's right here in our mess right now. I'm going to hand over to Dan. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you.